Damn these evening drafts.
Well, and then, you know, it's all day the next 2 days. It's a crazy schedule. I liked it better when it was just 2 days and nobody really paid attention and it was a grainy video or a radio feed that you could pick up online.
That was my internet going. Yeah, it's 11:30 over here.
Uh-huh. It's a little bit of a late night, huh?
Yeah, it's once in a while, and, you know, you can't miss something like this, can you?
No. For the Astros to draft another light-hitting shortstop, that's... must-see TV.
Oh, no, please no, please no. Well, anything but Chris Reed, I think, is the message I've been getting this week.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll have to mute my microphone if that pick comes across. This is a family podcast, and that would frustrate me to no end.
No, I think it's got to be... well, you can never say for certain that it's got to be a college pitcher.
Well, that's certainly what it looks like, the way they're scouting right now. And, you know, maybe I'll be misinformation, but... at this point, we kind of knew where they were going the last two drafts, so I feel a little better about knowing where they're going this one, but I just hope it's not Reed. Not that he won't be good. I mean, I think he'll be fine, but I just don't think the Astros need a guy like him.
Like, who are we talking about still?
Chris Reed.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I mean, considering how deep it is this year, just...
Mm-hmm.
I just... No. I mean, there's four... I'm just looking at, you know, Jungman, Barnes, Bradley, and Gray, and I'd be happy with any of those four, I think.
Even Meyer is a guy that I think I'd be okay with, just because I think his upside's a little better than Reed or... Tyler Anderson or the other guys that they've been linked to lately.
Yeah, I'd go along with that, I think, yeah. But, I mean, even though I prefer a pitch, you know, we've been talking a lot about Colin Wong, haven't we?
Mm-hmm.
And there's something there, whether it fits with what we need right now. Probably not, but...
Well, I mean, if he had Colton Wong in the minors, I don't know that Ed Wade would have felt as that he needed to sign Bill Hall necessarily, you know? Because Wong's a guy that could be ready next year, middle of the year after that, you know, pretty quickly. And, you know, I think he could fill a hole at second, but I don't know. Even that kid from LSU, the center fielder, I mean, he's got potential, I think, and would be a good pick there. Just anybody, but the low ceiling pitcher, please. That's all. I don't ask much.
I mean, this is one thing I'm always not quite sure about, but when you're looking at drafting people and what you've got already in the system, how set is that? I mean, is Altuve going to be a second baseman? Could you move guys like that around different positions if you had a strength there and you needed to move him to a different position to get him in, say, a future lineup?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, and that's the thing. If he's a player and you think he's going to be able to get to the majors, you put him wherever you need to. That's why Lance Berkman played in, like, six different positions, you know, just because they wanted to get his bat in the lineup. And, Altuve, you know, they're probably going to put him wherever he can. If he sticks at second, then what do you do with DDJ? Do you move him to center field, you know, to right field, try him at first base? I don't know.
Hey, do you understand the reasoning totally behind putting the Shields at second base?
I know, I don't think they were as sold on Altuve coming into this year and like at the middle of last year. So they thought they needed, you know, just a surefire second base guy. And he's a little more valuable if they he sticks there than center field. I was listening to somebody on the minor league broadcast today, and the guy was saying, if you can play the infield, you can play the outfield, but not all outfielders can play the infield. So I think there's a little bit of that mentality too in it for the Astros, you know, minor league people.
I think we've got such a people moving about so much in positions nowadays. I mean, you had, you know, the big case with Soriano going from second base to left field. But people seem to nowadays it's not so much, you know, oh, he's a catcher, you know, we're not going to get much from him offensively. I think expectations of those we saw a couple of years ago were defensive positions. People think, oh, you know, look at Chase Utley at second base. It's now a power position. We need, you know, 20 home runs from that position. Whereas, you look, you know, Jeff Kent was a, he was a misnomer, really, wasn't he?
Yeah, I mean, he was, there weren't many second basemen in history like him. You know, you've got, what, Joe Morgan, him, and Chase Utley really is the best power-hitting second baseman in the last 30, 40 years.
And what's the Cubs guy's name?
Ryan Sandberg, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's the only, isn't it? And now you have Utley. I mean, if he was fit, if he wasn't injured, and, you know, he has another 5-10 years, I know, you know, he could be, you know, offensively one of the premier second baseman, but that's how it's changed.
Yeah, and you know, you can look at a guy like Pete Rose too, who played really all over the field, and you know, would be a Hall of Famer if he hadn't bet on baseball like he did after his career. But you know, he was a good player, and they just fit him in anywhere. He played first base, even though he wasn't the prototypical power hitting first baseman. Because, you know, you just get a guy like that in the lineup however you can.
Did you see Gammons talking about Rendon earlier?
No, I didn't see that.
It's interesting. It looks like he's going to drop to second because of, you know, I think his shoulder is after the ankle injuries. Shoulder injury has made he's been playing DH, not third base.
Yeah, that's his third injury, really, in the last 3 years. Because he had the ankle last year, he had another ankle injury the year before that, and then the shoulder this year. So I can understand why teams are scared off by him, but geez, you could really look silly if you don't know what's actually going on with his medicals.
The Pirates, Charlie Morton's come through now and has had an absolutely blazing season, but their record of drafting pitching prospects has been absolutely terrible. I would almost think, even though Rendon, he has these doubts, but you just think, you know, they pass up on a hitter, and maybe it isn't much, you know, a much surer bet, maybe.
Yeah, well, and you know, the stuff I'm reading recently about Gerrit Cole is talking about how he's not really a sure thing either, and might make a better, you know, an all-star closer, are just a regular, maybe, you know, number two starter, but nothing special. It's just kind of scary if you're talking about the number one overall pick.
Well, I'm looking at the Sickles list, and he has Bauer ahead of Cole in, you know, how he prefers, which ones he prefers, so, you know.
Yeah, and it was like, I think it was two different reports I was reading today. One was Baseball Beginnings, which I really like. And then I can't remember what the other site was that I was reading, but it was the same kind of thing, talking about how Cole is just, you know, has the potential to not be as good as Bauer or a couple of the other pitchers in this draft.
Well, it's whether you're looking for polish or you're looking for with floor or ceilings.
And why would Pittsburgh be looking for something other than polish, you know, for polish over upside? It's not like they're going to go to the playoffs next year.
To select him with the fifth overall pick.
That would be a frustrating franchise to be a fan of, I think.
Yeah, we probably shouldn't be rationalizing management decisions when it was last year's report. They were banking, the owners were banking $30 million or something from revenue share.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Mm-hmm. Turning a profit because of revenue sharing. Yeah.
So, Joe Posnanski, the SI writer, had a very good write-up of it. I think he said something like, you know, it's not their fault, it's the system's fault. I don't know whether I agree with him totally, but it was quite an interesting viewpoint.
Yeah, he certainly has those. I really enjoy reading him because of that stuff. Talking about the system so much as the teams itself.
God, I can't believe it's been a year since the last draft.
I know.
Seemed like 2 months ago.
I can't believe it's already June. Like, the season seems to have flown by so far.
Yeah, it's been more of a nightmare than a dream, though.
Well, yeah. After a while, you just get numb to all the losses, though.
Yeah, it's got to the point where it's almost comical, funny how bad some of the play has been.
Mm-hmm.
J.R. Tolles' arm, for one, that's become quite amusing over the past 2 weeks.
Or even the little things like that catcher's interference. When was that? Saturday? Where he just, it like hit off his breastplate and he was too far up and got the guy on base and he ended up scoring like two plays or two batters later. Just
that the Cubs game, those Campana, the four steals, that sort of makes me, when there was one where he just held onto the ball. And that has me thinking, I mean, there's talent there, there's always been talent there, but I just, eventually we might just have to say, you know, is it confidence with this guy? Will he never, can he not break through mentally?
Well, I mean, there's got to be a reason that they haven't given him a shot before now. You know, so many other guys with talent, you know, that kind of show the talent that he's shown in the minors, get chance after chance after chance to prove themselves, and he never really has. You know, he's always kind of,
he's been cut in May every time. Is it?
Yeah.
Every time the offense has struggled, and they thought, oh God, what we've got to do something. We've got to do something. Oh, we'll just send down Tolles, send him down to the minors, and bring someone else up, and stuff. You just saw it. His confidence is shot. Sent down to Double A last season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's got to bother him in the back of his mind that, you know, if Castro doesn't have the knee injury, then he's never even got this shot, probably.
Well, Quintero is such a, they're not the gospel, but even if you look at his wins blood replacement numbers for this season, and he never hits well, but, you know, still, defensively, he's worth having on the team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he would be a great second catcher if we just had somebody else to be the main catcher. But I don't know that we'll get that until Castro gets back from his injury, and then who knows what he's going to do. You know, this was going to be a big season for him, and now it's kind of put on hold a little bit.
Oh, I've got the sound off, but a Connecticut pitcher is focusing on at the moment.
Yeah, I think that's Matt Barnes.
I was looking at the video for Jed Bradley, and I mean, we're saying that some of this left-handed stuff is bunk, that the Astros want to get a left-hander, but you know, you look at his delivery, his height, you do think, you know, he'd be quite nice to have in the organization, wouldn't he?
Oh, I think so. I think I would be okay with that pick. Obviously, a guy like Archie Bradley is the home run because of everything that he brings in the upside. But I think Jed Bradley is good and is probably ready a little bit faster. His fastball velocity scares me a little bit just because, you know, it's good at times and really good at other times, and then sometimes it's just inconsistent. And, you know, you just never know once you're pitching every 5 days how that's going to hold up. But I think, I would be reasonably happy if they got him at number 11.
Jungman seems to have dropped quite a bit on some of the mock drafts I've seen.
Yeah, it's like nobody really is in love with him, and I'm not sure why. I don't know. Everything I see out of him, he looks just as good as, you know, Barnes or Meyer or any of the other top college right-handers.
Well, I'm just looking at what Brooks had to say on Jungmann, and he said, you know, he's not really in that top 10. He's not, you know, among the Bowers or the... Maybe that's just why a lot of it, people have excluded him from that.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't have the same stuff as they do, but he's got the results, and he's had the results, you know, basically since he got to Texas. So that's why I just, you know, you don't want to say college stats are the end-all be-all, but if a guy's successful, sometimes, you know, that's going to translate because he's just, you know, he's got a way of getting it done. And I think Jungmann could be that kind of guy, but apparently not a lot of teams think the same way.
Who else is joining us tonight, do you think?
I think Sean, Native Astro, said he could be there.
I'm here.
Oh, there you go.
Sorry, I just been listening in.
Sneaky.
Yeah. I think Jungmann, a lot of it could probably be, you know, how many teams are maybe scared of his workload at Texas?
Yeah.
And his delivery, it's a little... If you're looking at side by side comparison between him and say like a Matt Barnes, Jungmann's delivery is a little. I wouldn't say it's funky. It's just it's not real smooth.
Right? Yeah, and I've seen that a lot of teams don't like his not teams necessarily, but a lot of people that have, you know, kind of break down deliveries on our site have just kind of cringed when they see him pitch. So that. Yeah. I'm sure that's probably a factor, too.
I still... The one thing that has get me is that how jammy the Diamondbacks getting two picks in the top 10 after not signing Barrett Lue last season.
I know.
I mean, they could have two absolutely outstanding arms and who'd look absolutely great in their system. Jealous of that.
Well, I think the rumors now are them going with Bauer at 3 and then maybe Holton sliding all the way to 8.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how sad, well, sad for everybody else, but great for them, you know?
Yeah.
You could have two guys on the fast track to through your minor league systems that could be up in, you know, 2 years maybe.
And at the same time, they've got Dan Hudson and a couple other pretty good pitchers already in their rotation that are young guys. And they're already contending this year. So they could be a pretty good team if those guys all pan out. But, you know, Bauer's got the same kind of injury questions that Tim Lincecum had coming out. So
we 3 minutes to midnight. It's midnight here, but 3 minutes to first pick.
Well, are they going to – they're going to start the clock, so Pittsburgh may use up that entire 5 minutes before they turn in Jarrett Cole.
Oh, this five-minute thing annoys me intensely.
Because there's no trades. There doesn't need to be 5 minutes if there's no trades. Just make the pick. It's not the freaking NFL.
Can you imagine how long the draft would be if it was a 15-minute clock?
Oh, my gosh.
We start it Monday and end it Tuesday.
For just the first 60 picks.
Yeah. And then if there's trades on top of that, it would just be atrocious.
Yeah. So does Rendon slide, you think, past Seattle?
There's a slim chance that he could. You know,
I think Bauer's looking good.
Yeah. It's hard to tell, like, without actually knowing what's within that medical report.
Mm-hmm.
You know, logic says that he doesn't slide anywhere. Let's just say worst case scenario that he doesn't slide past 5. But I mean, this draft is so deep, you never can tell. And we've seen it in the past where teams go for, you know, their players.
Everyone might want pitching in the first 10. Everyone. Mm-hmm. And then, mm-hmm. And there's still, you know, Bubba Starling's there. He's not going to fall out of 10, is he?
Well, and you know, that's the thing. It seems like Seattle's the one team that's not really focused on pitching right now in the top 10, which is interesting. You know, and the Cubs seem to be looking more at position players, too. I've heard them rumored more with position players than pitchers, but it'll be interesting. I'm just hoping somebody takes Lindor so that it's not even an issue for the Astros to take him at 11. Just bite that bullet ahead of time.
Anyone else wearing their gear?
Your Astros gear?
Yeah. Am I the only dork? My wife was like, why are you wearing that?
I go and fetch my cat from upstairs, but I'm in my dressing gown and slippers ready for bed when this is finished.
Does anyone think, like, I hate to point out the obvious, but does anyone think that they're gonna overdraft this year like usual? I'm trying to look at the list of, like, let's just say the top 50, right? Mm-hmm. Who, and let's take Chris Reed out of the, you know, argument just for now. Who between like 10 and say 50 would they go after?
Well, you know, I talked a little bit about it already in a couple things on the site. I think that Tyler Anderson makes a lot of sense I think that they've scouted him. I think he fits that left-handed mold that could be the reason these rumors got started in the first place. And he wouldn't be a terrible overdraft, kind of like Jason Castro moving up about 10 or 12 picks. But, I don't know that I'd be unhappy with him, but it would certainly be that kind of groan that they're overdrafting once again.
Is anyone else's feed getting frozen?
Not so far.
Nope.
I'm quite interested to see what happens to Perk. See if anyone takes him. Mm-hmm. Flyer on him.
I think he's either he's really gonna slide to like maybe the second round, or maybe in the supplemental round, or he just bypasses this year and goes into next year's draft where he's probably a lock to be a top five pick.
If he rebounds.
Right. I mean,
if he has another year like this one, he could fall even more.
Yeah.
I'm also
go on.
Well, I was going to say, I am also interested to see if anybody takes John Stilson out of A&M, even though he's had the arm injury and he's going to have surgery. You know, just take a flyer.
Huh? He could be there. He could be there at pick 69. The Astros were interested in him prior to, I believe, a shoulder injury.
Yeah, you got to be okay with that. I think it's a rotator cuff. You got to be okay with that. You know, you think he's going to bounce back from it, but you know, he could have some value later on. I'll say this too. I know I'm an Aggie and have watched A&M for the last 10 years, but I would not take a pitcher off that staff if you paid me high up there. Their manager just absolutely abuses pitchers. And he did that to Stilson, too, when he was in the bullpen. Would just bring him in, like, 15 straight games and, you know, pitch him for two-inning stints and all this stuff. And I'm really surprised it took this long for his arm to fall off, because I thought it was going to happen about 2 years ago.
Well, that's, I think, a lot of people are scared of, you know, young men, because that workload, the Augie Garrido, call it the Dusty Baker school of philosophy, mm-hmm. just throw them until their shoulder just starts bleeding, right?
You know, he threw Cole Green today on 2 days rest in their must-win game against Kent State.
Yeah, it doesn't shock me.
It's just ridiculous.
Are they're giving him 5 minutes, right, per pick?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I wonder what they're really, like, what are they talking about, right? Are they ordering pizza? The pick's already pretty much, it has to be in by this time.
They're ironing out the details of Chris Reed's new contract.
Yeah, no kidding. Oh, that's going to be so painful if that actually happens.
Tim, I've got the mute button if it does, so that we don't get that recorded.
No, we want to get it recorded.
I'm trying to remove anything from my desk that, you know, could possibly throw.
We didn't think he'd be there at 69, so we went ahead and drafted him at number 11.
Corey Spangenberger. You know what? If I had to choose between, like, say, Corey Spangenberger and Chris Reed, I'd probably go Spangenberger.
he's at least got power.
I mean, he is a weird. Trying to explain him is weird. It's like giving Brett Wallace Michael Bourne's speed.
Yeah,
but not Brett Wallace's body.
Like he's, right.
Yeah, it's weird. Like he's got a plus bat, plus speed. Very little power. Maybe mm-hmm. it's comparable to maybe a Jacoby Ellsbury.
Mm-hmm.
You know, depending on what was still left on the board, you know, maybe that wouldn't be such a bad pick.
No, I think it'd be fine. It wouldn't be inspired by any means, but it'd be fine.
Does anyone think that the Astros are kind of in a no-win situation with this pick, regardless of who they pick? You know, if it's not somebody that's out of the top five, Astros fans.
Ed Waite's going to get slated, whatever, isn't he?
Yeah.
Well, there was an article. I think it was on the baseball SB Nation, SB Baseball, or SB Nation Baseball, or whatever. And, like the 11th pick historically has not been a good selection.
Mm-hmm.
Only recently, like with Justin Smoak and some other ones, has it been somewhat fruitful, and remains to be determined on how good the pick check he is. But
it was Grant Bisbee, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Last time they had Roxenberger or whatever.
Oh, just make the damn pick already.
Good lord. What are they doing? Why are they like waving to the camera? They're not doing it. They're just talking to their moms. How are you doing?
So who are the two Houston representatives on the floor tonight?
Jimmy Nguyen and somebody else.
Yeah.
Somebody else.
It was Biggio last year, but I guess he, you know, won another state title or whatever he did in Taps, and so he's big timing him.
Okay, who's it next year? Jose Cruz Jr. or Cesar Cedeño? Here we go. Is it Gerrit Cole?
Uh-oh.
Chris Reed!
There's Selig.
That's Cole. It's got to be.
All right. We're one for one on the mock draft. I need to pull that up. That'd be awesome if, like, someone just comes up and whispers in Bud's ear, and he's like, and the Mariners select with their second pick, Anthony Rennan.
Like, they just yell it out from the peanut gallery as soon as he finishes saying that.
I mean, I got to believe Bud Selig was like, all right, we're going to milk this, so you guys each have to take your full 5 minutes. I mean, they can't even trade picks, so what are they taking so long for?
So that Harold Reynolds can talk.
Then get more commercials with Nick Swisher advertising for lips. Oh, has anyone seen that? Absolutely awful.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that the one where he's reeling in the turkey with the fishing pole?
I was referring to one where he's shaving in the shower and then he starts talking to Jonathan Papelbon.
Oh, yeah, that one's awful as well.
I will say that the one where Joe Mauer is making fun of Troy Polamalu, who then reappears right beside him, that one's funny. I like that one.
Anyone hanging out in the open thread?
I don't know. I've been
looking at really. I got too many windows open
today. Considered the clubhouse leader at UCLA. That is a very helpful scouting report. Not what he throws or anything useful. It's just. Clubhouse leader.
How about a moment? Is this got to be for the Yankees, right? That they weren't able to sign him in 2008, and then they threw away their first-round pick on Rafael Soriano this year. So it's just a double whammy for them today.
Yeah, but what I heard last year during the College World Series, he didn't – like, it was his decision. I mean, he would have gotten paid by the Yankees. But
I don't think he even listened to any financial offers.
Really?
Yeah. So that's just a bad on whoever scouted him.
Yep.
If you're gonna take that kind of gamble, you know, bad on you.
Yeah. You know, that's on Gerrit Cole too for turning down millions of dollars. Like apparently he cashed in though. So
It kind of reminds me of Adam Plutko last year, turning down the Astros because I think they offered him close to $1 million to sign.
Right.
And
yeah, but he's, I guess that's probably a rare case because, I mean, look at Matt Perk. He was like the 11th pick last year or something, or 14th pick.
And now yeah, it was like 14th or 15th. The first round. Yeah.
Who do you think in the top 10 might be a signability issue?
Well, if what's his name, Holtzman, really is asking for $30 million or whatever, it's fanciful.
Well, isn't the slotting possibly coming next year?
Yeah, they're talking about collectively bargaining the slot prices. So,
and that'll come up for next year's draft too, right?
Right. Yeah, because yeah, that's this off.
You
got to
keep that in mind. If you can get any, you know, millions worth of dollars, you might be better off cashing in right now.
Yeah, that's actually what I've heard about Archie Bradley is that, you know, for all the talk about his football scholarship or whatever, that he's more than willing to sign a baseball contract as long as you give him millions and millions of dollars.
Those two sport guys are going to get paid. Archie Bradley, Bubba. I think there's one more. I mean, maybe these guys just accepted a football scholarship. Just maybe they knew, you know what? There's no way I'm going to be a Cornhusker, but I can make this, turn this into something lucrative.
Yeah. Well, and even the NFL might be going to some kind of slotting system.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what they're fighting too. So it's no guarantee. This is the only sure guarantee in the first round right now. You're going to get a couple million.
Mm-hmm.
Drum roll.
I'd be shocked. Yeah, I'd be shocked if it wasn't Rendon, huh?
Telling you, Francisco Lindor. Just do it. Just do it.
Ooh.
Wow, that's big.
Ooh. That's money. Ooh. Okay, we're 1-for-2.
Wow.
And that just screwed up our mock draft.
Yeah.
That's a big domino right there.
That is?
Yeah, it is. That's crazy.
Not only does that affect, you know, we're Rendon drops, it could affect Arizona's two picks because that was their guy or one of them.
Didn't the Mariners like select, haven't they been selecting position players the last couple of years?
Well, that's the thing. Like they've, you know, came out and publicly said, you know, we want a college bat.
Yeah.
But I think maybe the
believe that.
Yeah. I think maybe the medical concerns were just too much.
They were probably,
they could have known that. Go ahead.
I was going to say, they probably were hoping Garrett Cole would drop to him.
Yeah. Or they knew that Arizona knew that Seattle was leaning this way, and that's why they kind of zeroed in on Trevor Bauer at number 3. That could be too. Because that came out the last couple days that they had kind of moved away from Holtzman at number 3 and were focusing on Bauer.
Right.
So. If Rendon slips past Arizona, does he get stop at Baltimore, Kansas City? How far could he fall? Could he go to Washington? To Houston at number 11?
What about the Cubs?
if he's available at 11, do you think there's any chance Houston won't take him?
Oh.
It would be a PR nightmare if they didn't.
Well, and like you said, I mean, if the medicals are really that bad, if they're that bad for him to drop from the number 1 overall pick to number 11, then, yeah, I mean, I could see the Astros not taking him because they haven't shown to be really risky in the first round.
Yeah, but you got to take that pick at 11.
Well, you would think.
No way you can't.
I know.
Even with the injury. I mean, because one thing that someone made a point about is that with the advance in medical treatment, you can deal with a lot of the injuries these players have nowadays. I mean, just look at Tommy John.
Mm-hmm.
Don't like their mechanics? Okay, we'll have Tommy John in a few years.
Wait, did we take that from the $6 million man? Well, I think, you know, let's just say that he is there at 11. Bobby Heck and the staff have already said that there's so much talent in round 2 to 10 that they could target pitching, you know, in that round and get big value.
Well, sure. I mean, like, you know, if they took Anthony Mayo in the second round, even if they took, if Chris Reed fell to him there, he'd be a pretty good value in the second or third round. Brian Brickhouse could be available. You know, there's lots of arms that could be there later on. And the other thing is, you know, Rendon, he could possibly be starting for the team next year. You know, he's got that much polish. He may need a little time in the minors, but, you know, if Crane wants to do that, you know, to give the fans something to come to the park and see, I could see them doing that.
See, and that's the kind of move that the Astros need to kind of mend that fan corrosion right now. That fans are just, whatever they do, they're just not happy with anything that they do. So it's going to take something like this for them to, you know, regain that fan trust.
Well, you know, Rendon and Jordan Lyles playing regularly for the 2012 Astros would be very exciting for fans, I think. They wouldn't win a lot of games necessarily, but they would at least be interesting.
Who's the first pick next year?
I honestly don't know. I haven't looked that far ahead.
What's the kid out of Stanford? He's a third baseman. I can't remember his name.
Oh, DeKroger or whatever?
He's a third baseman slash shortstop.
Yeah, DeKroger.
So you're telling me the Astros will actually have a pretty decent pick, and we don't, because everyone knew that Anthony Rendon was going to be first this year. I mean, obviously he wasn't first, but he's still pretty high up there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I remember I was speaking to Lee Street about this last month, and he said that I think Jim Callis had said that no one from next year's draft would get into this year's top 10.
Oh yeah.
This year's deep though. That's a ridiculous comment. This year's deep.
I don't know that it's ridiculous. I mean, it's just the truth. Just like last year, there's people in the top 10 that wouldn't go in the top 30 in this draft.
I think the point was just that there was no standout as of yet. It could change in the next year. True. Still a long way to go, but I think that was his point.
Well, yeah, and two, you know, if you start thinking about high school players that could, you know, come up, this is their junior year this year, and maybe they weren't on the radar, but they grow 2 inches and add 5 miles an hour onto their fastball over the summer and, you know, just set the world on fire next spring.
Ooh.
I've got a serious lag on my feed about 10 seconds.
I do too.
Well, yeah.
Oh, am I getting it before you guys?
Yeah, so you're like cooing and awing, and I don't know what's going on.
Oh, yeah. This is going to be fun. Oh, yeah.
Well,
are you getting antsy in your panty now?
Does Baltimore stick with Dylan Bundy? Or is...
Well, didn't Rendon, like,
they're also
all year, right?
Yeah.
That's probably playing an effect in his draft status, and that's got to be playing an effect.
You know what else I heard? Some dude named Native Astro was spreading a rumor that about Rendon as well, that he throws like a girl.
Yeah, team totally picked up on that.
Yeah, I think my 5 followers spread it around.
20 minutes in, we're up to 61 comments in the draft thread.
It's going to blow up if Rendon keeps on falling.
I know.
Well, that's another thing, too. Like, all right, so this Baltimore pick is really interesting because, you know, rumors this last week have them flirting with Archie Bradley.
I know. Which I don't understand. Is Dylan Bundy just asking for that much money? Like, he's clearly the best high school arm in this class.
Well, I mean, a lot of it, too, is representation. It's Scott Boras. I think he also represents Archie Bradley. And I think Dylan Bundy wanted, what was it, $30 million? And then Archie Bradley wanted, like, a $20 million. So I think a lot of it's just negotiation tactics.
Oh, I'm sure.
Maybe they just throw that number out there and try to maybe slot... sorry, try to slot him into maybe a better situation, like a, I hate to say it, but like a Eli Manning type situation.
Mm-hmm.
Where they get to maybe better choose where he goes.
Mm-hmm. So they're not, he's not going to Houston then, is what you're saying.
You know what? I've learned with the draft, never... It's
well, I mean,
tell.
If they're going to try to go to a better situation, Houston's certainly not better than some of the teams ahead of them in the draft so far.
Yeah. I think
be the team that they would want to get involved with.
Well, I mean, it's hard to tell, right?
Yeah.
So a lot of – it could go back to, you know, maybe people don't want to play in Cleveland because it's cold, right?
Yeah, that's true.
So the interesting pick is going to be it's going to be Kansas City, the next pick.
Yeah.
God, talk about the rich getting richer. That's like, mm-hmm. Feel like Scrooge McDuck adding another pile of money to his vault. Just throw it anywhere.
Didn't they lose one of their top pitching arms to surgery recently? That John Lamb, I think.
Yeah, he's out for the year.
Yeah.
Still, even with that loss, they're just so...
Oh, I know. They still got about six guys that are better than anything the Astros have.
Are you updating the open thread?
I am.
Good man. One of the good things about sucking is we don't have to wait here all night for a pick.
Yeah.
All right, so basically in my mock draft, I got pick one right and then nothing.
Let me log into the Google Documents and see how people are doing predicting so far.
I feel sorry for the Tampa Bay writers. They have to wait absolutely ages and then all hell breaks loose.
Yeah.
I mean, they've got, what, like 10 picks within about 15 or there's something like that. Ridiculous streak of picks they've got.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, did you see that? Looks like Baltimore might go with Archie Bradley.
Wow.
For the fourth pick.
Yeah, only three people had Cole going first and Bauer going third in our little contest. And, of course, nobody had Holzen going second overall.
Yeah, that right there just eliminates probably all 50.
Hey, but somebody did have Archie Bradley going number four.
It's been a hot topic here at Blue.
And it was our friend from the Valley Cats, Kevin Whitaker.
All right, be quiet for 10 seconds when you get the pick.
That was Dylan Bundy.
Yeah.
I'm going to refresh my video now, so I'm back on time for the next pick.
All right, so...
We got two right.
Wait, is that him wearing Longhorn Orange? And isn't he in Sooner Country?
Uh-huh. He's going to Texas.
Was.
Oh. Yeah. They haven't ponied up for his signing bonus yet.
Can you imagine that if none of these guys signed?
Oh, my goodness. But
they would have Sweetheart, Josh Bell, Bundy. That right there. Wow.
And Trevor Story, too. Isn't he going to Texas? Matt Dean from Houston, the third baseman.
That's right.
So does Kansas City stop Rendon's fall here?
That's a. I don't. That's. I can see where they could pass on him because they've got they're just loaded. They've got right now at the DH they've got Butler, and then at the hot corner they got Moustakas, and then even if they decided to move him over to first base, there's Eric Hosmer. So if they wanted to take a gamble and maybe see how he fares at second base, maybe.
Well, Washington's kind of in the same situation. I guess they'd be a little easier to move him over to first base, but you're not getting the same value out of him.
Yeah, and Washington will gamble, as we've seen in the past.
Yeah.
Can Rennan still stay at third?
Sure, but, I mean, Washington's not going to move off Zimmerman to play Rendon there.
No, I was just thinking for the Astros.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he can play for the Astros. That's what I'm saying. I mean, if the Astros drafted him, he's starting next opening day in place of Chris Johnson for sure.
Yeah, okay.
I just don't think the Astros have that one player that, you know what, that's irreplaceable. I may be wrong, but...
That's the problem.
It's a big problem. They lack kind of star power.
They have a team full of complementary players. Even Pence. We've all said this. We've said this time again. That's the total problem with the team.
Which is why I don't want the Astros to trade everybody, because you get a couple All Stars in there, we're right back on track.
Yeah, but how do you get the All Stars?
You sign them. I understand the whole trying to get the prospects and stuff, but you're kind of just setting yourself backwards a couple of years. If the Astros make some good moves and the talent continues to creep up throughout the system, the Astros could be competing in 2-3 years. But they have to keep Bourne. They've got to keep Pence. They've got to keep the pitching rotation intact. And then fill it in with the players and then go sign. I mean, the Astros reduced payroll this year just to sell the team. They could increase it by another $10-15 million and make some decent moves. And then, they're back into the thick of things. I don't think they'll be keep competing next year, because I think Carlos Lee is such a big detriment to the team.
Yeah.
That once he comes off the books, so you got J.D. Martinez, you probably possibly have a Dallas Keuchel in the rotation or even in the bullpen. You have Jose Altuve playing second base, and you go sign. You have Jason Catcher. You go sign a third baseman. The Astros is a third baseman or even a shortstop. Maybe throw in a couple pitchers here and there, and the Astros are a pretty decent team.
Well, I think they'd have to do it by a trade. I think they'd have to go out and get somebody like Hanley Ramirez if the Marlins are thinking about moving him because of the payroll or whatever. The next guy that's, the team's not willing to commit to that they can land for a big package of these prospects they've been developing. I think that's probably more workable to build the team around these, complementary players than to just sell everybody off.
Right.
Well, I think trade's probably the fastest way, but you also take three steps back with the farm. Let's just say, if they did trade for a Hanley Ramirez, it would wipe us out, because you're looking at, a Jonathan Villar, maybe a Jordan Lyles, and maybe one other lower piece.
There you go.
Could be a Bubba Starling go, too. He went to the Nationals at 6. So we missed on...
Look at that. They went for the hometown kid.
Is he hometown?
Yeah.
I'm not sure where he's from in Kansas, but...
I would have put Bubba Starling at the fifth spot if I knew he was a hometown kid.
I think I did, didn't I? I got argued down by the other two guys in the mock draft.
Yeah, those guys don't know what they're talking about.
I know.
My eyes kind of glazed over.
Well, they had publicly come out and said, you know what, they were going for looking for a college arm.
Oh, yeah.
But later
so
in the week...
So then he could be ready with the rest of the team, basically.
Right, but later in the week, they started to warm up to the idea, at least publicly, that, you know what, they were going to look into maybe signing Bubba.
I was listening to the MLB, it was a Intentional Talk podcast, and they were talking to Alex Gordon. They're like, yeah, so you're pretty excited to go to Kansas City, being, a big Kansas City fan. And he's like, well, I was actually a Seattle Mariners fan in Kansas City. But he like lived 4 hours from the stadium, so he went a bunch of games, and you know, yeah. And then the follow-up question was like, so you got a lot of pictures with you in Kansas City blue? He just said he was a Mariners fan. Come on.
That's called a bad interview.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think you got taken back. Yeah, heaven forbid someone, and that's what I'm saying, is he might be a hometown kid, but that doesn't mean he rooted for the Royals, so.
Yeah, and you know.
Because the Royals have been bad for a pretty long time.
With my wife's family being all from Omaha, Nebraska, that's, you know, geographically close to Kansas City, but they're certainly not Kansas City Royals fans.
Right.
They're kind of fans because they've got their AAA team that's there in Omaha, but not really.
Yeah, see, I lived in Leavenworth, which is about an hour away from Kansas, from the state, from
Austin
Stadium. So we went to ball games all the time, got to see like George Brett play and mm-hmm. stuff like that. But I was never, you know, I was never a Kansas City fan. I don't think I was any fan. I was kind of switching around between the Athletics and you know, whatever team I felt like. I was more of a Ricky Henderson fan though, growing mm-hmm. than an actual team fan. So, because like when the Royals played, I think he was at the Toronto Blue Jay at the time, and I was looking for him, but he wasn't playing that day, so I was kind of disappointed that we didn't get to see him play.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. So, but I mean, I have a place in my heart for the Kansas City Royals just because we spent so much. That's probably the stadium I spent the most time at was Kauffman Stadium, out of any baseball. Hmm. And I'm kind of, you know, it's nice to see it. Their farm system's ranked number one by, you know, the consensus number one, and it looks like they're starting to have that come through to the majors, which will be, you know, nice to see them start kicking butt again.
Yeah, it's kind of like when you see Cleveland start playing well again. You know, those teams that are historically down need to have big seasons every now and then. You need to have a little bit of sustained success just to avoid, you know, not becoming irrelevant and getting contracted or something.
You know
like
who's
that.
Becoming irrelevant next year? The St. Louis Cardinals.
Yeah, I thought that this year, and they disappoint me every year because they're still good and they.
Why would you think this year?
Because I didn't think Berkman would be able to hold up, and of course he turns in his best season in like 5 years.
Yeah, well, I thought he signed for offensive reasons.
Yeah.
Well, we just need to kidnap the pitching coach in St. Louis, get him away from those young arms. It's just
no
every
joke.
Year, every year. That year when Todd Wellmeyer, it was just came out of nowhere. Just,
yeah.
Kyle Lowe.
Our Braden Looper. They converted Braden Looper to be a starting pitcher, and he was actually good.
Yeah, I'll see if they'll take Rennan. I mean, he's falling fast.
And he could fall further because, like, let's say he doesn't go to 6. Arizona's not going to gamble on that unprotected pick.
No, not at that pick.
What,
Cleveland, I think.
Oh, you don't? Because
I think I don't think he gets past Cleveland.
Does Rennan have another year?
No, I think he's a senior this year.
Yeah, so he has to sign.
Yeah.
So that'd be crazy if the Diamondbacks got who'd they pick? Holton?
Bauer.
Oh, Bauer and Rendon.
Yeah.
That would be nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can guarantee you every website come out, Diamondbacks number one in the draft. A plus plus plus.
We're gonna get D whatever we do, so.
Am I bothering you? Archie Bradley.
Did you just say that?
Yeah, I'm trying to throw you guys off.
Ooh, there he goes.
Yeah, there goes Rendon.
Well, that was a pipe dream, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was nice while it lasted, right?
Yeah.
Could you move Zimmerman somewhere else?
You know, their intention is maybe they move Rendon to first.
Yeah, I think that's what you'd do, is move him. Or to, right field. If they're, if they're worried about a shoulder.
I thought Harper was playing right field.
Huh?
I thought Harper was playing right field.
I guess so.
That's a good one, too, isn't it? Having the system.
Mm-hmm.
Brendan and Harper, yeah.
Well, how spoiled are their fans, really? Strasburg, Bryce Harper, and then Rendon.
When they fall all the way down to number 6 and they only get Rendon. Jeez.
I'm sure there'll be that one fan that'll be like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, I think I might release this conversation again as a bonus. Just release overall.
An extended track.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know, you hear worse on sports radio, don't you?
Yeah, guys like me getting yelled at by the crew at the Blitz.
Yeah, well, you make a trade
stupid
for Hanley Ramirez. I almost wanted to eat my head on that one.
Well, at least it's not signing Rollins or Reyes as a free agent to start next season. That'd be...
Yeah, but I could see that more likely.
What do you mean? I mean, he's going to get traded. Are you arguing that? You think the Marlins are going to keep him around? They haven't kept anybody around in, like, their entire history of their franchise.
I think if he gets traded, it'll probably be after they move into the new stadium. They're at least
going to... Well, sure, yeah.
Yeah, but they haven't won a World Series. It's not... They don't trade... They're not the Pirates. They don't just trade anyone that's good. It's they win a World Series, and then they have a fire sale.
No, because they...
watch baseball?
Miguel Cabrera was, like, years after their 03 World Series. So there. There you go.
Sure. Touché.
It's amazing they got no return on that.
No, I know.
Yeah,
Cameron Mabian's playing for San Diego, and I think the pitcher even's playing for somebody else.
Yeah, so Andrew Miller was a lefty.
Yeah, so basically you just got Michael Dunn and a couple other relievers. If you look at, you just traded Cameron Maven.
Which is another reason why I don't want to have this fire sale of Hunter Pence and Michael Bourne. No guarantee in return.
We just have to go and pick up people like Brett Wallace and guys like Laurie that the Blue Jays picked up, sort of like AAA on the cusp ready, but blocked by in the organization's depth charts.
Yeah, that was certainly a sick pickup. Okay, so I think our mock draft has everyone taken now. I mean, it's just the first six picks were just kind of mishmash. We get Sonny Gray for number 7.
Sorry, I'm reading this comment that Clock left. Have you seen that this Cuban defector is now eligible for the draft and may sneak into the first round? Onelki Garcia Speck. It's a left-handed pitcher.
I thought they said he wasn't eligible, and that's why teams weren't happy. Or was it the other way around?
It's the other way around.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
They were unhappy that it came out so late. That
yeah, 9 o'clock yesterday notified that he was available.
Wow, there's just all types of wrenches being thrown into the thing.
Oh, joke.
So it's going to be interesting to see who the Diamondbacks go with the slot, because they did have the private workout for your guy, Lindor, here, and word is that he was very impressive.
Yeah, they need a shortstop, too.
Well, yeah, because they're talking about Steven Drew going to free to not being on the team.
Yeah, because he sucks.
Well, there's that.
I don't like Harold Reynolds' type of thinking, but I must say he's very entertaining on the MLB Network.
I have it on mute, and you can just—he's very animated. He's a—you gotta love those hand talkers that just—they can have a 5-minute conversation with their hands.
He's a hugger. Wait, did you say that Steven Drew was terrible?
There goes our pick. Isn't he signability issue?
Yeah, very.
Yeah, he is.
So this is a gamble. But Kevin Towers, he's a gunslinger.
Well,
it's gonna be Francisco Lindor. Son of a bitch.
I can't see them taking another shortstop. Of course, I could be told. He looks like Brett Favre.
A little bit.
With whiter hair. He looks like an old Brett Favre. The look from that shot looks like he's signing with Arizona.
Yeah, it does. can I just yell at you a little bit about Stephen Drew? Because I just pulled him up on Baseball Reference, and he's hitting 285, 370, 441 this year, and he's terrible.
What is that? Is it like, this is like his only above average year or what?
No, he's had multiple years like that. He's got some power. He hits for average. What else do you want out of shortstop, huh?
Okay, well,
he hit 278 last year. He hit 260 the year before, 291 in 08.
Okay, what are the on-base percentages? I don't care about average.
333, 320, 352 last year, and 370 this year.
Okay, so the last 2 years, he's...
He's been good.
Riding. Yeah, he's been decent.
Interesting nugget, though, on Drew, is that his wins above replacement is only 0.1 ahead of Barnes, which is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, are we talking Steven or Drew?
Steven,
okay. Josh said Drew.
Oh.
What? Wait, never mind.
What?
I'm thinking of JD.
That's what I thought.
Okay. I'm going to go get another.
Oh, good Lord. Kelly Johnson's hitting 223, 299, 445 this year. But he's got 11 home runs. Wow. Ah, four picks to go.
Full 20 minutes.
Yep. Who's still out there? Jed Bradley.
All those college arms are still out there.
Sonny Gray,
right?
Yeah.
I think at this point, you start to look at, like, Matt Barnes. I'm starting to become a big Matt Barnes fan.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. I think he's got a really smooth delivery.
Yeah.
And he could fly through the system.
Mm-hmm. They do like their cold weather pitchers, too. I think 90% of the arms that they've been linked to have been okay with. But there's a couple of them I think I'd have a problem with.
You know, just for once, I wish they would just do something. Don't go typical. Let's not go for that toolsy player. I just want to
ban that word.
Yeah. For once, I just want to hear. You know what? He can't throw. He can't field. But he can just. He can fly.
He's a baseball player.
Yeah, he's got 80 power.
If only there were someone that we push on the site that does that. Not 80 power, but it's just a flat-out hitter. If
Cole Long will be there.
Somebody in this draft.
All right, so let's just say, you know, for argument's sake, that they do go with Cole Long. What kind of domino effect does that have within our system? Does DDJ move back to center, which I think he projects probably higher? What does that mean for Austin Waits, who I think will eventually, if anybody within our system is going to replace Michael Bourne, I think it's going to be Austin Waits. I don't know if you guys have seen the Austin Waits YouTube video. The guy is a freakish athlete.
Does anyone else think it's weird that they're using Baseball America's Top 100 instead of their own?
They don't really have. Well, yeah, I guess Mayo has one.
Yeah,
but Jonathan Mayo's thing is kind of all over the place.
I wonder if Baseball America paid for sponsorship or something.
That could be. But, I mean, if you're pushing your own company, you want to push your own guys.
Yeah.
Here we go.
There we go. Very nice. Exhale, Tim. David.
Tim.
Now we just need Reed to go in the next Woo! Pick. And then.
Can we laugh at the Cubs if they took Reed? They were worried that he wouldn't be there when they picked next.
Do they not have a supplemental pick?
I have no idea.
Dave's going to be kicking himself in 5 years when this kid's up in the majors and hitting 30 bombs a year.
Uh-huh. Yeah, because 5'11", 175-pound shortstops usually hit 130 homers in major leagues.
He'll be 220 by that time.
Uh-huh.
How tall is Hanley Ramirez?
He's big. He's like 6'2". I think. I don't know. They keep on comparing this kid to Jose Reyes, which I don't think is accurate, but...
Why are they in the same location?
It looked like it was earlier, but I guess it is. That's weird. I think they're both in, like, suburbs of Tulsa, so maybe they just rented out a big hall or something.
I just got an email from Chris St. John from Beyond the Box Score.
Yeah, I saw that.
Have you seen this fake Brad Mills Twitter account that's been floating around today?
No.
The player or I saw it yesterday.
The manager. It's one of these where they think they're funny and it's like, just shut up, please.
They're not.
Cub selection, here we go.
Oh my gosh.
What? Who?
Javier Baez. Is it Baez or?
Yeah, Baez, I guess.
Well, he's been moving up draft boards here lately.
Has he? I guess they wanted...
He's 20 on Tickles.
I bet you they wanted Lindor, too.
I bet they did.
If they're taking it... Well, why? They've got Castro. Unless they don't think Castro's for real.
Well, Castro's getting pretty big. He's, what, only 19? But he's starting to fill out, so I think
he's 20.
Yeah, I mean, I think... 20. Yeah, by the time Baez gets to the big leagues, maybe they decide to move Castro.
They're just taking the best player available. They don't care about position.
That was a slot pick.
Yeah.
Was that a supplemental pick?
I don't think so. I think that was just their normal selection.
Well, yeah, I just...
Well, where was he going to go before?
Not in the top 10.
I think he was round 15 to, or not round 15, oh, okay. Picks 15 to 25. Okay. Somewhere in the later part of the first round.
Quick, someone go check Bleed Cubbies Blue and see what their reaction is.
So who does San Diego go with here?
They've got options. They've got, they do. We had Sonny Gray, Taylor Youngman, George Springer, and Alex Meyer.
Jed Bradley's here as well.
Mm-hmm. Bonds are still there, isn't he?
Corey Rowengardner or Rangenhoser or whatever his name is also there. They've been linked to.
Yeah, they've been really high on Corey Spangenberger.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't rule them out going after, say, somebody like a Matt Barnes or a Taylor Youngman here.
Okay. It looks like the Astros are going to have quite a few different possibilities to pick from here, but unless San Diego goes with them with this pick, looks like George Springer is going to be available. Is that somebody that Houston could go for?
I think so. He's got plus power. He's a big kid with five tool type capabilities.
Where do you put him though?
You know what? I don't think you just stick him in the system and you figure it out later. I think you probably try to stick him in center field eventually, but I could see him moving to probably either left field or right field once he starts to fill out more.
Yeah. Well, and could you even put him at first base and have an outfield of Martinez, Austin Waits, and Ovando?
You could, but you know, you also got Telvin Nash in the system as well.
Yeah, it's true.
He seems to kind of be back and forth between first base, left field, right field. Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't think they want him to play left field, and I don't think he's really played the outfield all that well. So they're working him in at first base just in case. But you know, they've got Cody Hensy too, and he's hitting well for the second straight year.
Yeah, he's tearing the cover off the ball lately.
Mm-hmm.
That's another thing too. You know, I think we all think that J.D. Martinez is, you know, maybe our long-term solution in left field, but I hate to say it, but have you ever seen that guy run around the bases? It's painful to watch.
And that's why he can't play first base. I mean, he doesn't have the knees for it.
Right. But it looks like somebody that's running on gravel when he's running around the bases. It's just his tendonitis in his knees. You can tell it could be something that affects him in the future greatly. Mm-hmm.
I don't know, I think in the next few years, the National League is going to adopt a DH.
What?
No way. There's too many traditionalists out there that would never let that happen.
You're yelling at me for ridiculous statements, Tim.
No, there's Cesar Cerullo.
Yeah.
What's going on, guys?
Hey. How's it going?
Pretty good. We got out a little early, so I made it home in time. I was actually watching on my phone from class.
Very nice. So tell us how excited you were when Rendon started dropping.
I was about to say, yes, we finally have a third base in our system. Oh. But how about, was anybody upset when Archie Bradley went off the board? I know I was.
Yeah.
Padres picking. Spangenberger.
Well, so the field's wide open.
So the top 10 didn't go with arms like we thought they might.
Well, yeah, only three college pitchers were taken in the top 10? Which is because, you know, everybody thought this was the strength of the draft. That's really unusual.
Now, there's definitely a lot of good options, though, remaining. I mean, with Javier Baez going that soon, that really opens up a lot more doors for us. A lot of you got Jed Bradley, Tether Youngman, Alex Meyer. Who else we got out there?
They're going with
Matt
Chris
Barnes
Reed.
Is still there.
What are you talking about? Why are you guys talking about all these high-profile guys?
Shut up. Just shut up.
Bite your tongue. All right. Make some predictions. Who y'all got? Who y'all think we're taking?
George Springer. Even though it's going to be a pitcher.
I think I'm going Jed Bradley.
Yeah.
I'm going Trevor Bauer.
Oh, really? Are you?
I'm going to be wrong either way, so.
They're going to go Matt Barnes out of UConn.
But they were a left-handed pitcher.
See, I don't understand that. Like, why come out publicly and say, you know what? We want a left-hand pitcher. Your system is not that far or so advanced that, you know what? You need to start hand-picking pieces to add.
It wasn't a public report, was it? It was just like the rumors that people were talking about as they're talking to the scouts and stuff. I didn't see any quotes from Heck or anybody saying that they wanted a left-handed college pitcher.
Right. I think a lot of it is just rumor.
Yeah.
I don't believe any rumors anymore. I've given up.
I'm going Jackie Bradley Jr.
Final with the overdraft.
It's to the second round.
You guys might be ticked off, but I'll be pleased.
You all know deep down inside David's going Colton Wong. Colton Wong.
Oh, it's an overdraft, so it fits.
Exactly.
You know, I'm just trying to prepare myself to be shocked here.
Crap, I haven't gotten a beer yet. Hold on.
Apparently draft room got pumped after the Padres picked, so we're getting someone everyone loves.
But does that mean that's somebody that we would love?
Probably not. Because it's Chris Reed. They were worried he wouldn't fall to 11. But he got there.
Yeah, I don't think has any of you guys liked the first round picks. that the Astros have made?
I liked Castro.
You liked Castro, really?
I did.
I think initially a lot of people were probably taken back. I wasn't extremely happy with their picks.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like, okay, maybe not. Like after you got over the initial feeling of it, you know, you came to accept it, whatever. But like initially, you're like, what?
Well,
every single pick has been that way.
Well, it has more to do with who's still on the board at that pick.
Yeah.
You know, when they picked Castro, Smoke was still on the board, and you know, right. Other guys. Same with DDJ.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. Like DDJ was, you know, even Giovanni Meyer, they did pick later, but a lot of people, I guess he wouldn't have gone too far after that. But no, it's not. Shut up, John Hart.
What did he say?
It's just about going and getting the best player, and that's what they're gonna do.
When has that ever been the philosophy?
I know. I don't know.
I guess you can't really come out and say, you know what, they're just going to pick a slot pick. Here we go.
Who would take the least money sign?
Breathe.
I think y'all are ahead of me. I don't like this.
Yeah, Tim is, and he's going to ruin it.
Be quiet, Tim.
Ooh.
David
called
it. David! And they say you don't have inside sources.
Wow.
That's who David picked, isn't it?
Yeah, just now, like 10 seconds ago. That's interesting. All right.
You know what? You got to like this pick. They don't really have that kind of profile player. We'll just got that later, but... He's got big power.
The last guy they drafted from Connecticut turned out pretty well, right?
Who's the last guy they drafted?
Well, I don't know if he was the last guy, but... No, it's New York. I'm sorry. I'm wrong.
I was about to say, you're reading a Snapple bottle?
You guys did a profile on this, right?
On George Springer, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to look that up. I want to read through that. Does he play center field?
He does. And he can probably stick there from the reports.
Did I call it or did I call it? Catcher, shortstop, second base, and now center field.
Just thank the Cubs for going with Baez. You know, the other funny thing is, Springer was on the list of players that Bobby Heck mentioned back in February or whatever, that Stephen Goff talked to him.
How old is Springer?
I don't know.
Well, it wasn't Chris Reed, thank God.
Yeah.
Amen.
And they didn't just try to pick Lindor just to do it